Anybody got a copy of the agenda? Unless I hear objection, we'll proceed with that agenda. Okay? And do I have a motion to approve the minutes of our last meeting?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, thank you. Second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Good. We're going to change the arrangements on the meeting here, the order of it, a little bit. Jared Britton, who's going to be speaking with us, would like to go earlier, and also Marcus Jones is a little tied up, so he's not going to be available immediately. So we'll do that. Chair heads up is chair of the Mills River Partnership, which is now a 501c3, dedicated to the improvement and maintenance of the quality in the Mills River. Mills River is very important in Henderson County because it's a drinking water supply for much of the people, and it's also on that waterway is a water treatment plant for Asheville. So it is important in that respect. There have been concerns about the quality of that. There was a fish kill 2 years ago.
Okay. 2 years last summer.
Yeah. And this resulted in considerable interest on the part of the state, and the state has been doing some monitoring of that waterway. And the body, the Mills River Partnership, recently has been awarded $200,000 to implement their action. They are working diligently to get matching funds to make that award viable. So they're making progress, and given the importance of that waterway to the county, I thought it would be germane for the august chairman to come in and talk to us. Dare.
I was asked to sit near a microphone and my voice is visible. When did
you can just, yeah, they turn at the top.
Turn?
Right there.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I'd like to thank Dr. Sweeney for the invitation to meet with you today and kind of bring you up to date on what the Mills River Partnership is about and hopefully eventually get some feedback from you on how we can integrate what we're doing with some of the goals and objectives for the county with respect to environmental issues in Mills River. Dr. Sweeney was involved, in fact, a couple of years ago in the discussions that led up to the reformation of the Mills River Partnership. We had a number of informal meetings out there following the fish kill and following the placement of some segments of Mills River on the state impaired list because of water quality issues. And the causes of the problem are complex, and certainly some of them relate to agricultural practices in the watershed, some of them perhaps to other things involving soil disturbing activity. But we through a period of several months reorganized this partnership, which had been in existence about 10 years previously, for the same purpose, along informal lines, to try and address water quality issues. And they didn't go away and won't go away, really, until we have a sort of a sustained effort to address them. So we formed a nonprofit corporation and have a board of directors, which is a very interesting group of people. It includes farmers, representatives from the Town of Mills River, Town Council, representatives from several environmental groups, including ECO, Carolina Mountain Land Conservancy, and Trout Unlimited, Maine 3. We have representation from the cities of Hendersonville and Asheville attending the meetings, as well as staff people from Diener Water Quality Division. So over a period of months, I think we've achieved, let's say, the understanding and respect of the various participants. Early on, I think the environmental organization representatives didn't quite know if they trusted the farmers, and probably vice versa. And I think our maybe most significant accomplishment up to now has been advancing the understanding between among the stakeholders out there. And in the meantime, we've, I think, gained the confidence of the farmers in the watershed who believe we're honest brokers and trying to help them address problems that pertain to water quality of the river. So the challenge is to come up with funding for our sustained initiatives in the watershed to deal with stormwater runoff. That's kind of the bottom line. And we were very interested in a report that, sometimes known as the Hughes Report, out of the Institute of Government in Chapel Hill a couple of years ago, where Mr. Hughes came up with a proposal for long-term sustainable funding for water quality initiatives in the Mills River based on a small fee added to the water bills. And so we've had a standing request before the cities of Hendersonville and Asheville for the last year or so to provide funding for a watershed coordinator position out there. And in fact, it's on the agenda tonight at the city council meeting. And so we're optimistic that since we have acquired a significant amount of money to place on the table, that the city will be forthcoming in matching funds to help us get this up and running. So this EPA 319 grant is for a period of 2 years, and it involves probably 60% of the money for best management practices to be installed on specific fields in the watershed to reduce stormwater runoff. The 40% or so of it would be for developing the organization, the Mills River Partnership, to be an ongoing forum and provide leadership in water quality assurance in the watershed. So that's sort of where we are, Bob, and I think the county certainly has a stake in this. And, in fact, we have a position on our board for the county commission to be represented on the partnership's board of directors. The county has not been very active in being represented at board meetings, and we hope they will be in the future and can help us with acquiring the regular representation from the county. That would be a good thing. Mark Williams, who's on the agriculture development person. So, anything else I can
you're saying you're going to
yet to make a decision about supporting this until that plays out. There's also a study underway by the McGill Associates, commissioned by the cities of Hendersonville and Asheville, updating the Mills River watershed plans, watershed protection plan. It's now about 10 years old, and that's been promised for several months, and we're waiting for that.
It's probably the last election system. It wasn't down fans, it wasn't banding.
Quite a long ways from the epicenter of Asheville and Buncombe County affairs, but my impression is it's going to get better.
Yeah. As far as what you hope to accomplish in terms of physical changes within the watershed, did part of that money go towards maintaining berms?
I don't know if you've traveled much in the Upper Mills River Valley lately, but in the last 2 years, because of some ongoing efforts by the Soil and Water Conservation District with funds that they had already had available, we're beginning to see some buffer strips left around the edges of fields, some permanent improvement in field roads that normally get really muddy and the road badly during storms. And one most conspicuous case at the Van Lingerden facility was a dry pond, and now a surf water pond, where the lake used to be. All of that has been happening in the last several months, so it's. And the two principal vegetable farmers in the Upper Valley have been very forthcoming in accepting cost share assistance to try to remediate specific fields that were rather notorious for stormwater runoff.
One of the concerns in the area as far as pollutants getting into the stream is legacy pesticides. These are DDT and related compounds that were used many, many years ago. And when they were used, they were applied correctly. And since then, we found out that these things have potential deleterious effect. And we now know that one of the major conduits for these chemicals getting into the water is being carried, the pesticides being carried with particles of soil. So that any efforts to abate soil. Soil erosion getting into the waterway would also be a positive step with respect to cutting back on the pesticide problem. This is a challenge. But I think you all have made great progress, I know that the accomplishment with respect to the development of trust between those so-called environmentalists and the farming community, that's a step in the we certainly wish you well in terms of getting money. We will encourage the county to be more active in its involvement in your committee, which is very important to a goodly number of residents of this community, including me. Does anyone have any further questions of
thank you for coming in. I heard a lot of mention about the agricultural side of stormwater runoff, but I'm also aware of a lot of construction that's going on too. Has there been any involvement or any looking into that kind of impact on the watershed. You have a brewery that's going in over there near the airport, small detention town. Little construction projects that are going on. They're also destructing soil and things. It might have an impact.
Well, of course, construction activities fall under the county's road control. We approve a plan and then inspect, make sure it's. And then if there's new developments since our stormwater plan came into play, I'm Marcus Jones, the county engineer. Okay. And if it's new construction that has come into place since our stormwater plan was developed, the development could also trigger a stormwater plan which has post-construction measures as well. Now, anything prior to the stormwater plan coming into effect, obviously, doesn't have to go back and retrofit that, but so it's only applicable to development since, I think it's been in place about 2 years now. But you pretty much need all the development that's happening in the county in the past 6 years. They haven't been very active. It doesn't have a lot of development. But the agriculture community is. Does it fall under one of those?
It's boards made.
Well, one aspect of that is the acquisition by Carolina Mountain Land Conservancy of some very significant conservation easements out there. And so that would be a case of development that won't happen, where the easements have been acquired. There's still a major one in negotiation on the South Fork and a large one a few years ago on the North Fork. And so several hundred acres now in conservation easements will assure that those spaces are water quality friendly. But we, our emphasis has been mainly in the agriculture sector because not that all of the stormwater runoff comes from agriculture.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Marcus?
Yeah.
You want to share with us some updates on what all has happened with Seven Falls?
Sure. Be glad to.
They can ask me to come in anticipation. I met with our county attorney, Russ Burrell, and got a hit update from him, and of course, Autumn from the planning department. Soon to be interim planning director, so you make sure to chime in if I misspeak or introduce anything. The county executed a development agreement with Keith Vincent, developer, and his folks. For development of Seven Falls because he wanted to go ahead and divide the property that the development agreement applied to before the infrastructure was put in. So before we'll let a developer do that, they have to post a bond for the cost of the infrastructure times 125% of the estimated cost of the infrastructure. So that way, if the developer goes broke before the infrastructure is put in, they sold this lot way out in the middle of the woods, there's some type of way to get the infrastructure that was promised to them. So everybody knows what happened, and we called a bond. After much litigation and trial and tribulation, we're successful in getting the $6 million for that bond. There are strings attached to that money. Obviously, that money has to be one spent by the infrastructure, which are roads, sewer, and water, to the property owners. And that's what the bond was done for. And also, it does not apply to all that property. The bond was only for a specific portion of the property, not the golf course property, and not the property that was a future phase that where the bond wasn't put on. So there's limited scope that the money can be applied for, and there's limited real estate that it can be built upon. So we procured the money, had it in the bank. It's in Henderson County's bank account. And then the next step was we hired the services of an engineer to design and administer the construction of the infrastructure. I think it's pretty obvious to everybody that, as in part from what y'all would be concerned about as an environmental advisory committee, that building that infrastructure would would stabilize the site. The areas that we go in and have access to, it would reestablish the erosion control measures. It would implement the site, which ultimately would stabilize it. It wouldn't, now there are areas outside of the property that the development agreement applied to that have been impacted by the neglect of the developer. Streams, particularly on the Gosport property, we impacted the sediment. There is erosion on the golf course property. That would not obviously it would be positively impacted by the infrastructure work because it would stop further impact to those areas. I guess one bright side of right now, the area has naturally stabilized some more than it was 2 years ago, but it's still a mess. So we've got the engineer on board. We're starting to do it. The first thing you do in an engineering project is you've got to acquire your permits. Okay, so there's Corps of Engineer permits, state water quality permits, and then local permits. But now that we are, the state would actually do the erosion control in this instance because we're, in a sense, it's our project, so we can't govern ourselves. The state would revert back to the governing agency for erosion control. The Corps of Engineer and the state have revoked all the permits and assessed heavy fines on the developer for all the impact that the developers caused. We've had talks with the Corps and the Division of Water Quality to try to get some more permits, renew the permits or waive, so we can do the work that the bond is funding and specifies the funds. We are not having success in doing that. So as we sit now, we're proverbial rock in the hard place. On one side, we have the Corps and the state of North Carolina, Corps of Engineers Federal Agency, and the state of North Carolina telling us that we can't do any work till all of the impact has been addressed, which is, first of all, it's, the cost is more than $6 million probably to do that, especially if you include fines and the cost to do that. Second of all, legally cannot spend that money outside of the parameters of the bond and the real estate or the land that is associated with it. Obviously, it's illegal, and if we decided to disregard what the law said about the bond, then we would certainly get sued by the property owners that want their roads and sewer and stuff that was promised to them. So, I could envision the $6 million staying in the bank account until somebody decided that the golf course property was valuable enough to pay for everything, pay for all the mitigation and the fines, and then develop the property. That stopping point was gone, then we would be able to do the infrastructure for what the bond specified. Right now, it's, and of course, Diener and Reading Environmental.
the minutes from environmental groups in the community. Environmental groups are heavily lobbying Diener and the Corps of Engineers to have everything fixed. So it's just a rock and a hard place.
The one solution is just sue everybody and let the judge determine what you know. That way, if the judge tells us something, to do something, no one else can. There's no, you know, we wouldn't be at risk of getting sued by.
In light of the bankruptcy, has that property gone back to a bank or banks?
No, the bank's not crazy. You know, they've already lost $30 million on that property. Why would they assume? Why would they condemn it? Or why would they foreclose on it and become owner of something with $60 million in liability associated with it? So they're we sat across the table from them, and you know they're nowhere near foreclosing.
But they technically own that property. Who owns that property?
It's the people that are in jail, I guess, or on their way. And that's all part of the other problem. If we had the money to go fix the impact of streams, we don't have legal access to the property. We don't, you know, we would need access easements to get to further. That the developer may give us access for that, but I mean, right now we don't have.
And the regulatory agency have found that the developer is at fault in terms of not adhering to the environmental rules. They're not about to step in and take over that property itself.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's not your typical, well, first of all, with the best in the golf course right now, even if they didn't have millions of dollars in fines and impact associated with it, but certainly not something that does. And then there's no funding for the Corps or the state to do that. That would be taxpayers' dollars for development. Well, that would be for mediation, I guess, but what you're doing is you're also facilitating the developer to
yourself.
There's a couple things up front. Can you mute
the
microphone? couple things to add to what Mark has said. First of all, the erosion control, we may not have to turn it back over to the state. We would if it was a county-owned project or county-owned property, but that's not the case. It's not the developer, it's not our project, we don't own the property. So we might be able to maintain control of all the erosion control if we go through the county for all that. As far as DWQ and the Corps, we've met with them, and they understand that, I mean, they can't just they can't let anyone off the hook for the damage that's been done and what needs to be done. They understand the county's position that we're in, and they understand where we're coming from. And they also recognize that this is not a star child of how they want things to happen. They understand this is the unique circumstances surrounding this unique project, and they're willing to work with the county to look at it in unique ways, if that makes sense.
indicated that there's some groups, outside groups, that might assist with that?
There's a possibility that, now, understand there's moving parts with this whole thing, this domino effect. I mean, the CORE and the DWQ, of course, is our first step, but it's only one issue that's happening in conjunction with the water and sewer, particularly the sewer, and then this finite amount of money that we have. But it might be possible, if everything lined up, for whoever the property owner was, whether that's Seven Falls or that was the bank at that point. Well, I shouldn't say bank. You're probably never going to see the bank hold their property. Bank would simply foreclose for a buyer who was already established and stepping in at that point, not being able to buy and then never being able to pay. And it is possible for an outside conservation group that has money and has the ability to purchase it to do some conservation incidents on it and satisfy some of the location.
And have some conversations along those lines.
Yeah. And actually, DWQ is the one who's pursuing some of that one. So we've been talking with some of those groups to make sure that's a possibility. But that is a slim and long shot because so many things would have to happen to even get to that point. But we're trying to be open-minded and look at different options that normally DWQ and CORE would be considered for any developer. Because nobody wants to walk away from it. Nobody wants to see this site just continue to degrade and nothing happens. But at the same time, our hands are tied, and we recognize too that to a certain extent, their hands are tied too. So we're trying to work together as much as we can. And they understand too that this may very well end up in CORE. But even if it goes that route, the county's going to be working very closely with those agencies to have a plan in place, at least.
Probably CORE will be a serial thing.
Yeah.
If that option is might be just the only way to get all those moving parts manageable. You start limiting options, bad options as well. Right.
So the CORE would just be binding mediation.
The CORE would direct us exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if it's non-adversarial, it would just be binding mediation.
I'm not an attorney, so I don't know if I would use that term, but.
Well, I mean, it's mediation that would be binding legally.
Now, it would encompass the regulatory side, it would encompass the property owners, it would encompass us with the bond money, and, you know, the parents telling what to do instead.
CORE is not the route we want to take. It's going to be another long process. That much more degradation is going to happen out there and issues. Baldwin certainly isn't going to handle everything
in your favor. At this point, nature's taken over and it's pretty well stabilized the situation.
In some places.
Some places.
It is, from what little bit I've been out there, I would not recommend anyone walking out there, definitely not at night. And I would be very careful during the day because you can't see some of those huge craters that are there until you just walk up on them, and they are large.
But I mean, you go back the 4.5 million years of the planet. This is the second time that the Appalachians have gone up, and they're just helping get them down again for the third time.
The problem is in this instance that there's considerable environmental damage being done off-site, affecting areas that are just
all that mud going somewhere.
We've got two
eroding streams.
We've got two problems. One is abating more erosion, and secondly, addressing the eroded material that's generating the streams.
You're absolutely right. The topography is the golf course community that we don't have access to, but that golf course property is downhill from where the home blocks are that we do have access to.
The money does not go to dredging out any of the streams.
No, well, dredging out is not an option.
This is just on-site repair. This
right.
is not go downstream and dredge out 4 feet of silt.
Well, the county bond money doesn't even address erosion.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even there, so it's not even on the table. The mud's just in the stream, and it's going to have to wash out on its own.
Well, it's unfortunate because the damage that's occurred, even if we were to sit back, there's nothing we can do. I mean, it's already occurred.
Yeah.
Their life was there is gone.
Yeah, I mean, the money just covers abatement of what's there. It does not cover anything that's gone off-site and loaded a stream. And you don't even have money to address that.
It doesn't cover any of that. It just covers the roads, the water, and the sewer, and we already know that that's inadequate.
Yeah.
To put all
so,
that.
I mean, I was just telling Mr. Sweeney, what's off-site and downstream is just hard luck. It's there.
But it's not because Diener and the Corps are doing their job, and they're not. They associate the bonded area with the impacted area. They don't separate.
Without a just order, you can't spend money downstream.
And if it is unfortunate, it ends up going to court. Who knows what?
Your bond is specific on what you can do, and all of that is on site in certain areas. It's not off site.
There are physical things that could be done in the stream to prevent further movement of the sediment in the stream going down further and causing more damage. But there's no money for it.
And the protocol that the Corps is looking at is actually a hand.
Literally,
when
they say
then
shovel stuff and buckets,
that is
exactly what they
mean. Solid earth. What I would be giving in a thread and sucking it out like a vacuum.
Karen's access. The dialogue is happening with the Corps and the Diener. We haven't resolved it yet.
They are trying to work with us in the best of their ability. The county is trying to do the same thing, and we're all trying to do the same thing.
You're limited by law, and what you're limited to is not going downstream. It's on the property doing certain specific items. I mean, you would certainly like to go downstream, but the money is not allowed to be spent for that.
Right. And unfortunately, if you understand any of the history of subdivisions and improvement guarantee, the statutes that SBOP set up the ability for everybody to do improvement guarantees, they didn't anticipate anything like this. They didn't really anticipate anyone ever having to use the money for that. It was purely for the reason of developers having the opportunity to go ahead and sell lots to recoup some of their costs to help them pay to finish the infrastructure. And we've come close to having to call people, you know, letter of credit, sometimes that's cash, or they can do a bond if they do it in 3 ways. But we've never actually had to get the money and go in and do the work ourselves. So we never wanted to get into this position. And unfortunately, with the improvement guarantee, the county is obligated to accept it. We can't tell a developer no. We can set up parameters of when and how we will accept it, but we can't just flat out deny someone given us an improvement guarantee and going ahead and recording that.
Well, we would hope that in the future, setting up bonds, that the potential of erosion of the grass.
Oh, I feel certain now that our legal department will be going over any future ones that they find. There's going to be a lot of things now that they're going to have in place. Permits. Permits are approved and put in place, and not just the developer found letters saying that we have those approvals.
So we don't want to make a ship or a key development that is utilized by the planning board. We want to make sure that when that development takes place, that it's done permanently sound, economically sound.
And the clause allowing the county to step in earlier and prevent the disaster before it takes place. And if you could have called the bond and stepped in 3 years ago, there wouldn't be all those craters and there wouldn't be all that mud.
Well, it took 3 years to actually
call it to get the money.
Yeah,
we did not.
I'm
we could have stepped in a year or two before.
The first time it became an issue with the mud going in the stream, if the county could have stepped in.
Well, the bond is to be conditional to no fines being assessed. As soon as fines start being assessed by local authorities.
Well, I mean, in the future, though, if something said when so much silt hits the county can come in and take action.
That's what I mean. When the permits are not being, worse, you got to get the permits, and then you have to be compliant with them.
And you just say, once you're out of compliance, the county can step in and take action to prevent further damage.
The county does have regulatory authority with respect to erosion, and when erosion occurs, implement among other things fines, but in this case we're dealing with an outfit that's broke.
Yeah.
We did have some text amendments that would address it and strengthen it up, and those when you come back up, because the way it's set up right now, you know, we have the ability to go in, they don't complete it by next day.
Well, I mean, so right now you have the money and you still don't have the ability to go in because you'd be trespassing in certain places.
We would be okay on doing what the bond does because we're going to be within a recorded right of way. That's where all of our work's going to happen. We can't get out of that right of way without giving permission.
We don't have access to the off-site to impact the areas.
That's the golf course.
Yeah.
That's one of the major eroding areas.
But along with the bond, the development agreement was access to the property.
And there's been significant damage upstream of that where those were pristine waters. But some of that area down at the golf course, it used to be a farm. So there was already a lot of issues that had taken place before the development happened. And there were some things that got cleaned up in the development, some of the environmental issues that they had. So.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that there's potential of this external token.
We would have liked to already be on site doing work. That would be the bad news, is that we have not worked out the regular situation, so we can't build on this.
He's the engineer for the thing on flashes. He's very familiar with that.
Very familiar, right. He was a developer's engineer. He also understands, that kind of, he's doing, the fees that he's charging us are a fraction of what he understands. He wants to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Not that he got paid for it his first time, but not necessarily.
Any other questions or comments? Something about water coming between the logs and all of the rivers and so forth. That has to do with the erosion downstream of the golf course.
Yeah, where the areas where the silt
is impacted area down.
Correct, the streams downstream that are impacting the sediment. The remediation is going to be actually manually removed. So, because if you go in there with a track cover, you're going to cause more damage.
Any other questions? Thank you very much for updating that situation. It's a frustrating situation.
You can see a light even.
Don't
know
how far away it is.
Yeah, I have quite a few.
It will happen, and I'm sure, like most of the divisions, not going through times like this, and things that are going to happen out there. But it's not me that we need to have a vision that happens. We need to make sure that we can do it right now, so that we can send in developments for better.
One thing that's happening. Do we have any other new business that we struck before this item?
Hi, I'm Katie Breckheimer. I wanted to see if Marcus and Megan have any news about the contract with American Recycling. I'm wanting to start recycling plastics 1 through 7. I realize it's been styrofoam, but...
Go ahead.
Really?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Well, we are making a campaign to announce that officially, but it's official.
Merry Christmas.
Katie, just an update. We'll talk about all the recycling. We received bids last week for a design firm so we can create a new logo for recycling. The public information officer and I will be working closely together to do ads on the radio and on our local TV channel, our Channel 11. We're going to do some things in both newspapers and online. We're also looking and talking with Apple Country Transit about doing some advertisements on the side of some of the buses. So we're going to have a brand new recycling campaign educating Henderson County residents that don't know about recycling, telling them about it, and the people that already do recycling, expanding to all plastics 1 through 7 are plastic containers. We're going to use the term all plastic containers to make it easier, except for the styrofoam, and then the gable top containers, which is your milk juice and milk and orange juice type containers with the triangle point on the top, the gable top. So those will be able to go in as well. So we're very excited about that, and that's just kind of a week or so ago.
That's not top secret.
We haven't announced it officially because we're going to do it with our big campaign kickoff.
That means that you've renewed your negotiations.
We completed the first year with American, and everything went well, and we were able to expand. You know, we told him, well, the other guy's taking all this stuff, and what about? So we negotiated a little bit and got that consideration added into it. But it's going well. Of course, this whole campaign is predicated on the fact that we now have facilities to be able to accommodate an increase in recycling that hopefully will be triggered from this,
right.
Thanks to the Solid Waste Advisory Committee and all what they did to help us develop a plan for the new facility out there, which is, brag about my folks, but they really, not only do the new facilities look good, but they're maintaining them really well. I mean, I tell them, I say, what you need to be shooting, this place needs to look like a golf course. And there's no reason why I can't. And I think they really do come close to doing that. And really, it's a lot easier to maintain a new facility because people respect it.
Well, I think,
help you out.
Was it not part of the problem that the first year with American, the county got payment for its materials at the end of the year? And did you...
We're still under that. We just... A couple months ago, finished the first year, and we're paid two ways. One by monthly on the floor price, based on the tonnage we send them, and then at the end of the year, we're paid a market payment that takes us from the floor price he's already paid us to what the market was based on a published pricing, and so we calculated the published pricing and figured out what that market payment was, and I gave him a break on his first year, but he making it three payments, and he's paid two of three.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so we're good. It's strong, and I mean, as Katie's getting to, we before this contract were paying $30 a ton plus shipping to get that recycling to the only MRF in town, and now that American's here, we're getting our transportation is paid for to the MRF by the MRF, and the MRF's paying us. Amazing what competition we do.
Thank you. That was good news.
So, are we making money?
Enterprise.
it's an enterprise fund, so all the expenses, I don't make money, I cover my expenses with revenues. And the revenues are made, it's enterprise funds, all the revenues that are, the expenses are incurred out of the solid waste are covered by the revenues that it generates. The key thing to ask is, well, if I receive a ton of trash, the net revenue that I get from that, which is the tipping fee minus the price I have to pay to haul and dispose of the trash, it's about $15-$20 depending on the contract, and $57 minus $40 for the hauling fee. So that $17 is what I run the operations on. So if you're paying attention, right, Larry? So if you bought me a ton of trash, I generate $17 to run that Stony Mountain solid waste facility. If you bring me a ton of recycling, now instead of being just a gross expenditure, I'm generating, you know, depending on the market, close to $17, more than $17, depending on where the market is, of course, that same revenue to run the business. So we're in a situation where we're not supplementing recycling operations with the trash business. So, recycling is a viable part of the business model for a lot of solid waste operations. And it hasn't been a very good market the last year, so American and hoping that it will. But I think it will. Like you said, recycling markets tied into the economic
economy. I'm still concerned. Every time I go out with my stuff, I note the amount of material that gets dumped between the edge of the railing there,
yeah,
and the overhang. And those railings still are pain.
They are. It's government, so we got to have a compromise between safety, OSHA, and convenience. And, we do have some improvement plans to try to be able to get where the driver can get the containers closer to the wall.
Okay.
And then that would help tremendously.
If the containers could be mounted a little higher, you'd get a better shot putting stuff in the slot. And they also, the containers that have the slanted sides with a larger opening, you've got more of a
target.
Yeah, getting stuff in as opposed to.
That is a work in progress. We all,
but they have predators out there to do police.
What was that?
You have prisoners out there that do policing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, not prisoners, but
people that get community duty.
Community service workers, yeah. We usually have a couple of them out there to help with litter control.
Yeah, it's not so much stuff blowing over creation.
I know exactly what you're
talking about. It's a swap.
Yeah. And that's bad for us because we don't want material in the ground.
No. You'd rather see this going into the recycling.
That's a lot of work that I've had to every time I move the box to get that material cleaned up. So we're motivated to fix it.
Maybe if a shelf could be constructed or something.
We tried some of that stuff. We're refining that. That's a concept too.
Okay.
Can I ask one more? I can't remember about the hauler status and. Is there some compliance deadline coming up?
Commissioners passed a transition plan 3 years ago that there was a lot more. Now there's a few haulers that are riding around in equipment that's not compliant with the state statutes. And we were permitting. And I had a problem signing off on permits that didn't meet statutes. Basically, the statutes fall around. If you haul trash, you have to be self-contained and leak-proof. And the commissioners, we realized that we were facilitating that, and we didn't want to turn a switch and all of a sudden really have a negative impact on a lot of people, some folks' businesses. So the commissioners, and Diener knows about it and is positive about the plan. They gave them 4 years. The last 3 years and this last year, we have given people permits or conditional permits. So the folks that had incompliant equipment got a conditional permit, and they know that January 31st, 2014,
One more. And but they've already, there were two new Packer trucks bought last week to replace some landscaping trucks. So it's working. And now it's, now people are investing in it, so it's going to be hard to change gears. Also, the first year of the transition plan, at the end of the first year, all haulers were required to offer recycling along with trash collection. So subsequent to that, we offered a hauler recycling program at the same time that allowed haulers to bring this commingled single-stream recycling, which is different than our convenience center, to us at no charge. So we charge $57 for trash, and we receive the recycling at no charge. And that's where that whole $57 in that revenue discussion had earlier. We don't receive any revenue from our customers for that recycling. We generate that revenue from folks up in Inca at the American Recycling Program. And with the facilitating the haulers recycling program that we offer, and the haulers with permitted to offer recycling, that's what's doubled our recycling in the past 3 years. Now the haulers are bringing us more tonnage for recycling than we collect at the convenience center. And if you were to speculate over the next 5 years what's going to grow the most, the potential for growth in recycling is, I would think, would be a lot stronger from the haulers than it would be from the convenience center. Hopefully both of them grow. We get more money from the convenience center.
Progress. These dumpsters that are having a gap there with the railing, they're the reason why you couldn't get a yard bobcat or a pusher tractor or something to shove them right up against the wall?
No, what's got to happen is the driver's got to have something to guide them. We're going to paint stripes along the... Not to answer your question, that wouldn't be really feasible. The trick's just to be able to get the roll-off truck driver, give him some points to aim off of and get it closer. And then it's also adding like a rubber material, tires, or some type of material to that when they do, they are too close that they're not damaging the boxes or the
bumpers.
And, that's, it seemed like it's, and I would have liked for that to be fixed by now, but I know they're working on it, so I talked to them about it just within the last 2 weeks.
Any other questions? Thanks again. We appreciate you all coming in. Any other new business to be brought before this August body? I have a point of information for you all. I can attest to the fact that the sale of houses is picking up in this area. Our home was offered for sale for 58 days and it sold. And as a consequence of that, we will be moving out of this area, and I will be resigning as not only your chair, but also as a member of this body. I certainly have enjoyed interacting with you all, and I think things, environmentally speaking, are moving in the right direction in this county, and it's going to go well.
You serve the pleasure of the big board, so.
I certainly have enjoyed interacting with you all and serving on the committee. It's a good one. The time and date for the next meeting, when is that scheduled for?
I have March 7th at 3 p.m. It'll be the first Thursday of March.
7th?
Yes, sir. Unless I looked at the calendar wrong. Let me double check.
Good. Anything else? Otherwise, I'll entertain the motion to adjourn. I wish you all well. Thank you.